Homily 43, Jesus and Women. Neither do I condemn you. Do not sin any more. When I was lecturing in Jerusalem, about 20 years ago, I got into a cab with a New York Jewish woman who attended the lectures. Two Orthodox rabbis pounded on the cab and demanded that the woman get out. Orthodox Jews will not sit near women. A woman after my own heart from New York. She told them with several choice, unrepeatable words, either get in and ride with us or find your own cab. To this day, Orthodox Jews thank God daily for not being born a pagan or a woman. In Jesus' day, a woman was her husband's property. He could divorce her for almost any reason. It is astonishing how many times the New Testament refers to women, especially when compared with the literary works of the same period. The most striking thing about the role of women in Jesus' life and teaching is simple. The number of them who are there. Just pay attention to that sometime. Just count them out. It's amazing. The Virgin Mary became the first preacher of New Covenant grace when she declared, "All generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me." Her cousin Elizabeth had declared her to be the mother of my Lord, the reason why Mary is called God-bearer, Theotokos. Mary Magdalene was the first to proclaim the good news of Christ's resurrection, Christianity's essential message, and sent by Jesus to instruct the men, the Magdalene and other Jewish women, including Joanna, Susanna, they accompanied and financially supported Jesus' ministry. Even more remarkable, Jesus touched and allowed himself to be touched, even by sinful women. The story of the prostitute washing his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, and Jesus' strong defense of the woman against her distractors has long impressed me. Extraordinary, too, is Jesus' scandalous Sabbath healings of a ritually unclean woman who suffered from a flow of blood. She's unclean. And of Jesus placing his hands on another woman, bent over double to cure her. He raised the son of the widow of Nain. He raised Lazarus for his sisters Mary and Martha, with whom he sometimes spent his days off. Miracles for women, women friends. Now Jesus, a Jewish man, actually discussed theology with the Samaritan woman at the well, considered a half-breed in shockingly racist terms by Jews. He also drank out of her ritually unclean Samaritan bucket. Would a KKK drink from an African American's glass? Despite knowing that she had five former husbands and was now cohabitating with another, not her husband, Jesus still did not avoid the Samaritan woman. In fact, after pointing out her sins, he let her off the hook when she changed the subject. The main point, she became the first to evangelize a Gentile town. She ran into the Gentile town and proclaimed Jesus Messiah before Peter, Paul, and other disciples. Moreover, you will never find an instance where Jesus disgraces or belittles a woman. Among the founders of religions and religious groups, Jesus stands alone as the one who did not discriminate in some way against women. When the Buddha learned that women were becoming Buddhists, he complained that now it would not exist as long. The Quran teaches that the majority of those in hell are women. What Jesus did constitutes a break with tradition and was without precedent in the Judaism of his day. The Apostle Paul was also radical when he wrote that in Christ there is neither male nor female. He called Priscilla a fellow worker in Christ, who had led the church at Ephesus and actually explained the gospel to Apollos. Paul called the woman Junia, outstanding among the apostles. Judea, Syntyche are famous for preaching alongside Paul, who also called Phoebe, a servant of the church who helped him and so many others. Slight change of pace. The frequent references to adultery in the Jewish scriptures is probably an indication of the result of the number of loveless arranged marriages. Although this morning's gospel is often referred to as the woman caught in adultery, it should also be called the men caught in hypocrisy. Interrupting Jesus' teaching in the temple area, some scribes and Pharisees cruelly bring in a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. The husband had probably paid off witnesses to entrap her. The scribes and Pharisees remind Jesus of Moses' command that such women be stoned. Even more deceitful, where was the man caught in the act? For he too was subject to stoning. The scribes and the Pharisees asked Jesus, "What do you say?" If he accepted the stoning of the woman, Jesus would have to face the Romans, for only they could decree capital punishment. On the other hand, if he opposed the stoning, Jesus would appear to be in opposition to the law of Moses. It's a setup, of course, and the woman only a pawn used by Jesus' enemies. Keep in mind that at the end of this chapter, so John 8, the conflict between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees becomes so intense, even Trump could not match it, that they were ready to stone him. After a time of silence, Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Notice, it was unlawful to write even two letters on the Sabbath, but writing with dust was permissible. Strange. Tradition says that Jesus wrote out their sins, but more likely, this was also a Semitic way of Jesus commonly expressing his annoyance at someone in the wrong. The way I would turn my back on the class and doodle on the blackboard when a student was giving me a hard time. In a previous chapter, Jesus had challenged his enemies, "Which of you will convict me of sin?" Now he stood up and he said to his accusers, "Let the one among you who is without sin cast the first stone." Did his mother throw a stone? He stooped down again and calmly ignored them. Jesus' answer did not condone adultery, but he compelled the women's accusers to judge themselves and find themselves guilty of sin. No one could pass the test, and beginning with the eldest, they sheepishly slip out one by one. The scene reminded me of the movie To Kill a Mockingbird, when the little tomboy named Scout calls out the names of her neighbors in the mob who are about to hurt her father, Atticus. They slink away, embarrassed. St. Augustine beautifully wrote, "Only two were left, misery and mercy, the woman and Jesus." Sounds better in Latin. Jesus asked, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Her reply, "No one, Lord." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." However, Jesus did say to the woman, "Go, and from now on, no longer sin." Here is mercy and righteousness. He condemned the sin, not the sinner. Please keep in mind Pope Francis's emphasis on mercy. Neither do I condemn you. Do not commit this sin again. Jesus, born of a woman.